All right, Shabbos, say good evening. We are picking up Emirat Hashem tonight on Nun Dalet Amud Beis 54b. And we are picking up, we left off my Avnei El Gabish, our Avnei El Gabish. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down from the top. So remember, again, we're going through the list of miraculous things, which if you see them, you have to make a bracha. So one of the things mentioned in the Braise, so is Avnei El Gabish. So the Gemara says, Avnei El Gabish. My Avnei El Gabish, what is that exactly? What is Avnei El Gabish? So Mer Sevo says, it's actually a beautiful Tana. Avanim sha'amdu al gavish, v'yardu al gavish. This refers to the stones that stood still. Al gav means literally on the back of, but because of a man. And the stones that came falling down, al gavish, because of another man. What is that referring to? This is so beautiful. So the Gemara says, Amdu Agavish, who is the man for whom the stones stood still? Zem Moshe. Dechsev Vahish Moshe Anav Mot. So we'll say this is referring to Ksev Vayachtulu Hakolos Habarad Vahmotar Lonitaf Artsa. So we'll say, so this is something that the Gemara is talking about here by the Barad, right, by the plague of Bar, by the plague of hell. So when Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the Barad should stop, so literally the Barad stopped like instantaneously to the point that there was Barad suspended in midair. So it's called Avne Al Gavish. That ultimate, it's a contraction. The stones that stopped falling Al Gavish because of a certain man. Who was the certain man? Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll say, I'll just point out, it's so fascinating. If you look at the flow of the Gemara, right? The Gemara adds in that phrase, Vaish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. Or Vaish Moshe Anav Ma'od. So it's interesting because you look at that, that phrase doesn't really have to do with anything after it, right? In other words, just tell me about the Barad. Just tell me about the Barad. I don't know, what's the pshat? What is the Gemara saying? Do you know where the godless of Moshe came from? The godless of Moshe came from his humility. Humility is the foundation for every other good midah, which makes perfect sense. Why? Because if a person doesn't have humility, then they think they're fine as they are, right? In other words, if I'm not humble, then I feel like I'm a finished product. Well, if you feel you're a finished product, then there's no growth. Then there's no forward-moving momentum. Then you're done. So it's interesting. It's almost as if the Gemara, in its beautifully nuanced way, is telling us, do you know what makes a Moshe Rabbeinu a Moshe? We'll say it's incredible. It's not the amount of Torah that you learn, because the truth is anyone could learn a lot of Torah if they put their mind to it. It's not even about the, so it's not about anything you do. It's more about who you are. That a person has to instill within themselves the midah of humility, because it's that midah, it's that character trait that propels you to need, for the, that propels you to constantly grow. I feel I'm not complete. I feel I'm not enough. I feel that where I am is insufficient, and in a healthy way. I don't mean like chasam, like in a lack of self-worth way, but I feel that I need to move myself forward. That's what propels me forward. Incredible. The Gemara says, Yard v'agavish. And so too, again, the stones came down because of another man. Who do they come down because of? Zeh Yehoshua d'chsev, kach lochas Yehoshua b'enun ish asher ruach bo, uksiv b'ayhi b'nosam mipnei b'nei Yisrael heim b'morad beis choron, v'ashem hishlich aleihem avamim gidolos. So we'll say, so quite beautiful. The Gemara over here quotes in Yehoshua. Yehoshua during one of the battles in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk literally says, that large stones, Hashem Hishlich Aleim Avarim, those large stones came down in the battle of Morad Beis Choron. So it's interesting. So the Gemara says, what were the big stones that came down in the times of Yehoshua? Those were the very stones that were suspended mid-air during Bara. Now obviously, again, Bara's in Mitzrayim, this is happening in Eretz Yisrael. It's again, if you have that kasha, then you're clearly not paying attention to this Gemara, right? In other words, those kind of kashas don't apply in Gemaras like this. Yeah, okay, geographically, the stones were in different locations. So what? The same Ribbono Shel Olam who stopped the stones of Barad mid-air is the same Ribbono Shel Olam who caused them to come down during the days of Yehoshua. So just to understand now, just the phrase, Avnei Al Gavish means the stones, Al Gav Ish, that came because of a man. And it's twofold. One time the stones stopped because of a man, Barad, and the other time they came down, ultimately because of a man, Yehoshua. Incredible. Evan Shebikesh Og Melech Habashan Lizrok Al Yisrael. So, or again, another example is if you see the very large stone that Og wanted to throw on Klal Yisrael to destroy them. So Yomar says, first of all, I'll say what's interesting about this is we know about Og, we read about him in the Torah, we never heard the story before. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Gemara Gemirila, it's a Gemara, it's a tradition. It's a tradition. So the Gemara says, Amar, listen to this, Amar Machane Yisrael Kamahavi. So Og asked like this, he said, how large was Machane Yisrael? How large was the Jewish encampment? Tlosa Parsi. It was 3 parsos. So Og had a good plan. He said, Ezel, the Oker Tura Bar Tlosa Parsi, the Ishti Alayu. So he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to uproot a mountain that is 3 parsos. Og was a giant. I'm going to uproot a mountain that is the size of 3 parsos. So what am I going to do? I'm going to drop it on Klal Yisrael. I'll obliterate them literally again all at once. Just knock them all out. Vaktalino, Azel Oker Tura Bar Tlosa Parsi. So sure enough, Og went ahead. He uprooted a mountain that was 3 parsos. It's a big mountain. Va'isi Aresha. But so what happened was, it's incredible. So Og lifted the mountain over his head. So just so you understand the image, Klal Yisrael is in front of him. Og lifted up a 3 parsa mountain, huge, as they say, hugeungus, right? Hugeungus, right? And he's ready to literally again throw it down on them and destroy them in one fell swoop. So he lifts it up over his head. So what happened? Va'isi kutshabrichu alei. Kamsi v'nakvua v'nachas b'tavarim. Boshua made a miracle. What did he do? He hollowed out the middle of the mountain, and somehow Og lost his grip, and the mountain fell around his neck. So in other words, if you can imagine, the middle hollowed out, and now the mountain came down on his head. But again, the middle was hollowed out, so it didn't crash on his head. It hollowed out around his neck. V'nachas b'tavari. Hai b'ayla mishlefa. So Og said, okay, minor setback. He was ready to lift the mountain off his head. He was determined and throw it on the people. The Gemara says, "Mashchi shine lahai gisa lahai gisa." The Ribon Shalom performed the miracle, and Og's side teeth extended. His side teeth extended. So what ended up happening? His teeth got lodged in the mountain. So therefore, he was unable to remove the mountain from around his head. V'hainu d'chsiv, shine rishoyim shibarta. That's the pasuk until him says, Ribono shalolam. You literally, again, you broke the teeth of the wicked. So the Gemara Dash says, it's not shibarta, atuki shibarta ela sherivavta. Rather, again, don't read it as shibarta, you broke it, but sherivavta, you made it larger. So this was the miracle. Og's teeth extended, and ultimately, again, went ahead and his head got caught on the mountain. Now, the story is not over. The Gemara says, Moshe kamahava. How tall was Moshe? Moshe was also tall. Esther Amos. Moshe was 10 Amos. I will say, now, there most probably is some level of hyperbole in this, right? Because 10 Amos would make Moshe Rabbeinu about 15 feet tall. About 15 feet tall. Okay. So Esther Amos, whether it's literal or metaphorical, irrelevant to our purposes right now. Moshe Kamava, Esther Amos, Shakil Nargabar Esther. So Moshe, who was 10 Amos tall, took an axe that was 10 Amos tall, right? Shavar Esther Amin, he jumped 10 Amos, Umachye Bekorsele Bekatle, and he took the axe, brought it down on Og's head, and killed Og. He killed Og. They both say, so that's the story. So that's, if you see the stone of Og, that's again, remember, we're saying, if you see the stone of Og, right, Evan Shebikesh Og Machmash Lizrakal Yisrael. You see the stone that he wants, it's not really a stone, it's a mountain. But if you see the one that Og wanted to go and throw on Kal Yisrael, you say a bracha. Because I just point out in the story, how incredible is it? I'll say, what was the downfall of Og? Right? In other words, where did everything go wrong in his plan? When he lifted the mountain over his head. See, I will say, what's interesting to note over here is, you know, had he just kind of like lifted it and like lobbed it, seems like it would have worked out okay. Of course, Kishmarach would have intervened. But Lameisa, what foiled his plan was that he lifted it over his head. If you notice something fascinating, look at the contrast, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is introduced to us as Anav Mikol Adam. What do you think of when you think of that posture of Og holding the mountain over his head? Such arrogance, right? You hold the mountain over your head like you're the master of the universe, ready to throw it down upon God's chosen people. If humility makes a Moshe, right? If humility ultimately is the prime ingredient for self-actualization and greatness, then arrogance is the prime ingredient for the downfall of man. Where there is arrogance, ultimately, again, there is always downfall. Maybe not immediately. Remember, again, Og was pretty successful in his day until this workplace accident over here, right? Right? But Lamaisa, you know, but otherwise, before that, he was on top of his game. But when you think that you are the guy who holds the mountain on top of your head, everything goes downhill from there. I'll say, you know what? We'll have to stop up. we'll have to stop over for tonight. I'm sorry. But the good news is next. So, okay. So, what we're just going to do is next week, if it's okay. It's not okay. We're doing it anyway. Right, we are going to continue just this model of doing the shir after Mincha Ma'ariv. I know it's not the most convenient, but next week might be the last week we could do it. Mincha's at 7:10. Shir will be at 7:40. The nice part about that is that time will work for the entire week. So there's no time fluctuations. And even on Thursday night, we'll get a full 20 minutes. So next week, 7:40. Obviously, once it's probably the following week, we'll probably have to, I don't know, we'll switch it to a different time. But we may even be finished by the Masechta next week. So, you know, if I don't show up. What's the over-under? What's the over-under on that?